Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to you all. Good morning. You found your way back to the Frat House Sports Garage for another Sunday. Another lovely Sunday. Yes, pull on in. There's plenty of room. There's plenty of parking, and we are going to be chatting motorsports of all sorts, as we always do with you on Sunday morning. So sit back, relax, grab yourself a seat, have a cup of coffee. I'm going to be joined this morning by our own Piggly Wiggly Ford Fusion autopilot sidekick. And up in the spotter's perch, we have Frat House Mike. Good Lord, we're going to have beer. someone's ready to get drinking this morning. I'm filling up with a can of Sunoco racing fuel myself. Actually, this I'm going to pour this one out in, remembrance of our own crew chief, Brandon, and his lovely bride, who are not with us today because they are, in fact, away celebrating their anniversary. So we will not be joined by Brandon today. However, our thoughts are with him and his lovely wife, Jennifer, as they enjoy a well-deserved week away. So they have gotten away for the weekend. Hopefully, we will have them back in the saddle next week. So at this point, I'll turn it over to Sidekick. You're going to be our analyst this morning, buddy. How are you? Good morning.
Doing good. Got my Sunoco race fuel in this morning. Now I'm pouring down a Mountain Dew. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've kind of switched up there. Generally, that's what I'm pounding by this point, but I'm still doing the Monster. I'm trying to get it together myself, and I know Frat House Mike is filling up with some Octane himself as he gets it together. You know, a Sidekick, what's the dirt on dirt? Everybody seems to want to get the dirt racing back into the NASCAR conversation. You know, we had the Mud Summer Classic. Did you get a chance to look at any of that since last Wednesday when that ran? I'm curious.
I did read a little bit up on it. I didn't get to actually see it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I had another
right.
commitment.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Sharknado 3.
plug. We're gonna plug that.
You know.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. I had to watch Brad Keselowski get eaten by a shark.
Oh,
and Joey,
I love it.
And Joey Logano, pointing at the sky, going shark. Watch sharks falling on the Daytona 500 and causing the big one. So
oh,
it was
there you go.
Comical.
It was comical, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I'm sure it was.
So there was some NASCAR flavor in it, you know. But
yeah, Frat House Mike is calling that a violation. I just wanted you to know. Yeah, Frat House Mike says, what? That's a violation. I don't know. Well, interestingly enough, you know, I did see it, and I'm going to, I guess I'll open it this way. Between the Wednesday event, which I did see, I actually saw it on DVR. I didn't see it live when it occurred on Wednesday night. I was involved in other things, and I actually kind of forgot about it. So, you know, call me a fraud, because I actually didn't remember it was happening until it was actually on. And so I went back yesterday and I did watch it. And I've got to say that, number one, I mean, Eldora is such a wonderful location to watch that kind of action at, because it's such a wide track, even though it's a half mile. It's exceptionally wide. And they talk about running grooves. Well, it appears there's like four or five grooves. If the trucks would stay on the track, you know, straight. but they slide and they clamber and they come into contact with each other and the wall. And it is, to me, it is some of the most fun racing there is to watch. And I can understand why it has kind of catapulted to the top of the Camping World Truck Series as one of those that, yeah, we're going to mark this down on the calendar. Now it's only a couple of years, right, that Eldora has been part of that. I believe they mentioned two past winners. Austin Dillon was a winner, I believe, and who was it last year? It was Bubba Wallace that won it last year. So, but it's a tremendous amount of fun. There were a lot of cautions, but what's great about the Camping World Truck Series is they don't. It's not like the Top Series where they're going to milk you dry, cutting away to commercials, trying to fill the sponsors' pockets, trying to keep the broadcasters happy. The cautions occur. They are handled relatively quickly, and you're back to the action. And many of them were spins. There were really only one or two that were contact cautions, which required, oh, we're going to, you know, now we've got to run through multiple laps of caution laps. So it was tremendous, though. I mean, Christopher Bell did a heck of a job. The youngster Bobby Pierce, that was his debut with the Camping World Truck Series. However, he was driving the 63 of MB Motorsports, and they are like 20 years in the series. And this was their first time running from the pole. And Bobby Pierce and Christopher Bell, I don't know if you DVR'd it or not, Sidekick, but if you get a chance, if you did DVR it, it is worth going back. Even knowing the racing action throughout the entire of it was really spectacular, and it was not just the leaders. I mean, that was throughout the entire field. Both the Austin and Ty Dillon brothers ran. They ran well. There was 60-year-old Kenny Schrader driving the 52. He wound up, I believe, near the top 10 finish, starting from top 5 position. So hats off to him. There's one of Brandon's.
See, and how cool is though?
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean?
Give a honk out to Brandon for his... Because that's one of his favorites from days gone by. Yeah, huh, Sidekick? 60 years old, he's out there.
Well, it was like, you had Mark Martin and, racing and, Dale Jarrett and stuff like that. You know, it's great to see, you got sliced bread. You got Joey Logano on the track. And then you got somebody like, Kenny Schrader or Mark Martin on the track, And you talk about, the generation differences between the two and where the sport came from and where the sport's going and stuff like that. It's really awesome.
Yeah, it really is. And it does kind of bring it all together from that standpoint. And arguably, and I've made the argument, this level of the three national series seems to bring not only, I guess, the most competition, but sort of the most fun for that, I guess maybe part of that reason, that you don't know who's going to get out there. I mean, it could be Front Row Joe. Quite often Front Row Joe Nemechek, he'll be out there. Now, in this case, it was John Hunter that was out there, that was running. But, you're right. That's what's great about the series is that you never know who's going to be there. And if there was one driver, there had to be 20 that in their description of running that race at Eldora, the word fun was used. And you could really tell. I mean, that's why I say, even knowing the result, it's worth going back to watch it, because the drivers obviously are having such a good time that it translates to the crowd. And the crowd can't help but get into it, too. And, I mean, it was sloppy. It was messy. The top groove was where to go. The bottom groove was a messy slog. There's Keselowski. I'll give hats off to Keselowski. He had never run on dirt before. This was his first experience with it. He made an absolute dive bomb move early in the race it looked like I thought he was out of control. I thought he was going to just crash into the infield. But he kind of held it together and knew what he was doing. He made the pass. But essentially kept telling his spotter and his crew chief, you know what? I don't feel as though I've done a turn right yet. and that's what happens. But given that fact and how it translates over, there's a call more and more, especially in NASCAR fan world, for that kind of dirt racing to be included. I don't see it ever, Sidekick, going to the Sprint Cup series, but perhaps Xfinity? Is that too much of a stretch?
It's hard to say, because my concern about it, I would love to see some more dirt track. I'd love to actually go to dirt track. I've not actually been to a dirt track race.
Mm-hmm.
But my concern with either the Xfinity series or the Sprint Cup series is, you know, how powerful those cars are.
Right.
You know, and getting them, you know, do you have to dial them down just so that they can stay on the dirt and not just sit there and do donuts in the dirt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the reason you're starting to see more talk about road courses and dirt tracks in NASCAR is due to the fact that you've got a younger generation, you know, younger fans that are coming in. The sport's got a little bit stale. I mean, you know, everybody knows the cliche, you know, hey, do you guys know how to make a right turn?
Yeah, right.
You know, they've done so much with the cars that it, you know, they need to get it back into the hands of the drivers.
Mm.
You know, because basically everybody, it's, you know, we've talked about it this year. You know, some tracks are just follow the leader.
Right.
And I think, you know, with the influx of extreme sports that all the kids are into, the supercrosses, MMA, CrossFit games, you know,
mm-hmm.
the X
mm-hmm.
games and things like that.
Right.
I think what they're looking for is with, you know, especially like the dirt tracks, you know, you're saying, you know, it's exciting. You're watching, you know, these guys are bouncing, going around the corners, the back ends are swinging out,
exactly.
You know, and you're on the edge of your seat and they're, you know, they're bumping off of each other. They're bumping off the walls. You know, it's almost like a controlled demolition derby kind of
thing. It really was.
And I think that's as you see the new guard replace the old guard with the fans, they're wanting to see something that's a little bit more exciting. So with Allmendinger and Ambrose, you know, with the road courses, and then you've got Tony with the dirt tracks, you know, with Eldora and the trucks. You know, I think that's why we're starting to see kind of this switch over where, hey, you know, road tracks are a little bit more fun. It's a little bit more exciting racing. You know, the dirt, you know, like I said, you got people banging off of each other and stuff. You've got Tony Stewart out there promoting the heck out of this.
Absolutely.
And when you look at it, you watch the development of a driver. Where are these kids, you know, where do these kids start out? They start out on, you know, most of them start out on the dirt. You know,
yep.
When we talk about some of the best drivers in NASCAR, you know, the Kyle Busches and, you know, the Tony Stewarts, we talk about one of the skills is their dirt track background, the ability to hang on to a car when it starts getting wiggly under you,
mm-hmm.
because it's like riding on the dirt. You know, we talk about Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart usually comes on when it gets really, really hot and the track starts getting slick. You know,
yep.
That's when you see Tony start, you know, start coming back, you know, being more prevalent, you know, top fives and things like that. So, you know, I think it's, you know, it's, we're going to start seeing more and more of it.
Yeah.
So.
And you're right. There is a driver tendency that is preponderant, I guess, to those that prefer that style of racing. And we'll use Tony Stewart as an example. And that being, there's a sense of aggression. There's a sense of confidence. There's a sense of competition that comes on in that style of racing, knowing that I can handle this vehicle this way, and a lot of the guys around me can't. And so it is a different style of racing. And as you say, and to your point, what's great about it is you're going to see the 17, the 18, the 20-year-old out there running side by side with someone who's perhaps 28 someone perhaps, 48 someone perhaps, you know, 60, and everybody's in it, and everybody's about it, and boy, is it fun. The other thing, I guess, too, that would prevent maybe the higher series from going to this style of racing would be just the field size, right? I mean, in trucks, you're running 28 or 30. We're not going to 36 cars. It's certainly not going to be conducive a half-mile dirt track for 43, as we know at the sprint level.
Absolutely,
but
yeah.
It would be interesting to see, even if they broke it down to two separate heat races of 20 at the sprint level or something of that nature, in order to bring, I think NASCAR should try to bring that a little more to their fans for all of the reasons that we mentioned and that you actually mentioned as well, which is, you know, we've got a younger audience and they want to see this stuff. They like seeing the banging, the bumping, the thumping. And it is sloppy and it is messy, and boy, is it a lot of fun. So my hat's off to Tony Stewart, to NASCAR, for bringing us a very, very fun midweek race. I mean, there's something that's old school, too. The fact that it ran on a Wednesday night. We don't see too many Wednesday night races or midweek races anymore. Time was, of course, in the olden days, they did quite often run on the weekend and then midweek. Let's talk about Kyle Busch a little bit. Obviously, it was his KBM number 54, Christopher Bell, that brought home the checkers for that Eldora. He's coming off the win last week at New Hampshire. We're going to touch on that a little bit. But more recently, did you get a chance maybe yesterday, Sidekick, to catch up with Kyle Busch as he ran around the Indianapolis 500 at Xfinity?
Oh, yeah. You know, it was actually kind of funny because I kept, if I would turn away and stuff like that, you know, I was getting regular updates from Mrs. Sidekick's mom.
Okay.
You know, Kyle Busch is in the lead.
Good. Exactly. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, she was watching it for you.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, you know, if we were out, you know, we were, you know, doing the mundane house tasks.
Yeah,
while it's on in the background, you know, we got good old mom. She's, you know, giving us all the updates, you know. She really kind of has gotten into it, you know.
Well, that's very cool. Yeah, right. We enjoyed having her over.
Yeah, she's got her driver for this year. Yeah, she's a big Kevin Harvick fan.
She likes the Hapster.
Yeah.
She's going with the Hapster for the repeat.
Yep, the Jimmy John Budweiser. That's,
there you go.
That's mom.
Absolutely. Well, that's okay. Pour one out for mom. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, what was fun about this race, and I guess most compelling, was finish. I mean, it literally came down to the last half lap. Ryan Blaney took the lead from Kyle. Kyle essentially led the whole thing. I mean, he started from the pole. He won the thing, ultimately, at the end. But for a period of about 40-odd laps, after Ryan Blaney made the pass and opened up the lead ahead of Kyle Busch, it really looked like this was Blaney's to win. Now, he was running for Penske, and, of course, he's part-time. He's driving in every series, I believe. He's not declared anywhere, so he doesn't per se get any points for himself. He does get, clearly he'll get the owner points. And when he opened up, I sat back and I watched it and I said, wow, how about that? I can't believe he got by Busch. And then he opened up the lead, and it just seemed as though it was going to be a precursor maybe to what we're going to see today. Of course, those cars at Xfinity are not going to be tricked out and set up the same way as Sprint Cup cars will be today with all of the drag on them. But at the same time, here we go. We're at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Stock cars, I don't know, they don't seem to ever run to the extent that they're hyped, I guess just by virtue of it being such a storied, long-time, all-American track. But in fact, boy, oh boy, I give it to Kyle Busch. He kept coming. And as Blaney met up with lap traffic, another pass, ooh, another pass, ooh, another circuit, and there goes Kyle Busch. And but for the fact that Blaney missed his turn, he missed his mark on like turn two of the final lap, there goes Busch. He dove in, and he took it. And I'll tell you what, that was an exceptionally fun finish. I said to Frat House Mike, because I was upstairs watching it, I said, dude, I was, you know, I'm sitting back watching it. I'm looking at it. I'm doing other things. I'm prepping for today. And I'm looking up, and I've got the volume on, and I'm hearing it. When it came down to the final lap, I had to stand up, sidekick. I stood up, and I am watching that with my hands on my hips as much as I cannot believe what an outstanding finish Kyle Busch pulled out. And, you know, not for nothing. I mean, I don't have a man crush on the guy. He's not my favorite driver. But holy smokes, can anybody stop this guy at almost anything? As an owner, he's winning in Xfinity. I believe they said this was his 72nd win at the Xfinity level. I don't know where that puts him on the all-time, but he's got to be right up there. And, of course, we've seen the guy only win three of the last four races at the Cup level. Holy crow. Is there any stopping Kyle Busch all at once?
And, you know, given his performance yesterday, you got to think that his name is in the hat for today. You know what I mean? You know, for the Brickyard race, you know, you can't, you know, it's not like you can say, well, you know, I don't think Kyle's got this one. You know, based on, you know, his yesterday's performance, the increased downforce that we're going to talk about, you know, the new rules package for this race, and, you know, the dominance of the Toyotas with these new packages, you got to throw his, you know, is he going to pull off four and five, you know?
Yeah.
You know, can he steal one away today? I mean, good golly, Miss Molly. I mean, this dude's been on a tear.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, right. I'm starting to think, as you, that there is almost no track that it is safe to bet against this guy. I mean, early in the year, you know, we're talking Kevin Harvick, right? Early in the year, you know, maybe six races in all at once now, everybody's talking Jimmy Johnson, right? Jimmy Johnson put together four wins. Harvick has put together two wins, but how many? Like 10 top twos Harvick has run. All at once, we're not talking about those guys. All at once is who? Jimmy who? Hapster? Who's the Hapster?
No, absolutely. And, you know, his brother and you know, Junior. And, you know, it's – but at the same time, they're all locked in at this point. So you kind of know they're going to the chase. You know, all the buzz is about either – you know, who's sitting in 16th on the start, you know, on the grid, you know, who's going to inch their way in, who's going to back out. And then you got Kyle, who's got, you know, what everybody thought was, you know, oh man, this guy's got such a mountain to climb to get into the chase. And here he goes, four races in, he's won three of them. He's sitting at 58 points out of the chase right now.
It is truly
fantastic.
Got
seven races, including today, to get into the top 30.
It is,
you know,
absolutely fantastic.
You know, and then we're going to sit there and talk about, well, all right, Kevin, or Kyle comes in, who's getting bumped?
Well, you're right, and we can have a look at that, because there ain't nobody safe there. We know that. Ain't nobody safe. And I think perhaps we want to already start to give him. Now, he hasn't achieved, you know, the top 30 yet, but it's not a question of if anymore. It's a question of when, right?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, you know, I forget what the margin was that he had when he came back. You know, what the gap was. I don't remember off the top of my head, but, it, you know, I mean, he's just solidly just been putting up, you know, the W's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right.
And potentially, like I said, we're talking about potentially today, he could put another one up. You know, that would, you know, if he gets in the, if he gets in the top 30, that automatically would catapult him above Jimmy Johnson.
It'll tie, right? They'll both sit atop. You're right. They'll sit atop the perch, as it were, for the number of wins with four. And by golly, at that point, you know, you start to really wonder at this point, declared or not, points or not, you get four wins in any series. Should that not be enough by itself to overrule any other claim to qualify for a championship?
Right. No, absolutely. I don't think we're going to have to worry about talking about, well, or, you know, do we let him in? Do we not let him in? I think, you know, like I said, you know, you were saying, you know, it's just a matter of when at this point, not a matter of if.
All right, to clean up, because we are going to move now exclusively to some sprint car NASCAR, but Sprint Cup NASCAR. But just to clean it up, you know, from the Eldora next week, of course, what we're going to do, we're going to be going to Pocono with the Camping World Truck Series. So they're going to join the big boys at Pocono next week. And, of course, we know the Turkey Triangle can be a lot of fun. I believe Crafton still holds the lead over there in that Camping Truck World Series, although the points are getting closer. I think he has a lead of just about 7 or 10 points over his next competition. And in the world of Xfinity races, and we'll see if, we're not going to see Kyle Busch run over there because they are heading out to Iowa, and that'll be occurring next Friday evening at 8 o'clock. So it might be a relatively... what would we say? It won't be a bushwhacker week. I don't think we'll see too many Sprint Cup drivers going to Iowa next week for Xfinity. So that'll help out all of the youngsters that are running at that level, that are declared at that level. Somebody like Landon Castle, my goodness, I won't be a bit surprised, though, that he tries to do both. I mean, he runs marathons after doing, you know, 500 miles, or right? I think it was the Coke 600.
Yep.
He did the Coke 600 and then proceeded to run a marathon back to
the shop, right?
Yeah, the shop in North Carolina. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised. He's not one of the few guys that'll try and actually do both. So that's kind of where we stand there with those two series.
You know, and these guys aren't athletes. They just sit in a car and drive.
Yeah, right. Precisely.
You know?
Yeah, right. Number five will always love you, and he's going to tell you all about it. Yeah. In that Xfinity series, Chris Buescher continues atop. Right there behind him, Chase Elliott, just 25 points back. And that's very interesting because, obviously, Chase Elliott, we know he's going to supposedly all green light for him to take over the 24 when Gordon vacates the seat next year, so he'll be up with Hendrick next year. Right now, of course, he's running JR Motorsports. That would be Junior. And 25 points behind Chris Buescher. So certainly he's within striking distance, Elliott, to try and completely defend and possibly win back a two in a row for the Xfinity. So I do continue to follow both those lower-tier series because I enjoy them. Let me ask you this, Sidekick. You saw New Hampshire last week. Of course, we talked about Kyle, right? He won the thing. How would you rate it? Was that a memorable race? Was that one of the, like, your top five or top ten? Was it less? What kind of rating would you give the New Hampshire run last week?
That's kind of hard. You know, it's so difficult.
Yeah.
Because part of me is like, you know, it's Kyle Busch, you
right.
know. There's mm-hmm. so much talk about how exciting it was with Kyle getting another win and stuff like that, you know. But, you know, you got to feel bad for Brad, who led the most laps, you know,
mm-hmm.
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, I guess it was, it was all right.
Yeah. Right. I tend to agree. Apart from the spectacle, which was, here's Kyle Busch getting his third. He's putting his third, championship racing label on the car. I've got three wins in four events.
Yeah, eat my dust, right?
Simply, my goodness, you're absolutely right. I mean, that is spectacular. But apart from it, oh, I don't know. See, Loudon, we do give that track to, they give it to event dates, one of which, of course, is going to be early in the chase. And I don't know, perhaps it's just NASCAR saying we've got to show some regional balance because we need to show the Yankees up there some love and keep two events in Loudon. But I don't find that to be a particularly compelling venue. And I can't recall necessarily a race in recent memory that jumps out. Now, this one might be that one, but it's not as a result of the event or the track. It's as a result of Kyle Busch.
Right. And last week we're talking, there's eight races to the chase and stuff, but there isn't really anything, like we go to Watkins Glen in 2 weeks.
I can't wait, right? I can't wait.
and we're talking about, who's going to get their, who doesn't have a win that's going to get their win and get in. Mm-hmm. But you're not talking about that when you talk about New Hampshire. We're like, we're going to New Hampshire. It's a flat track. And
Right.
It's
relatively unspectacular. We're expecting a repeat winner. Is that safe to say? You were expecting to see a repeat winner. I wasn't expecting any different than that myself. I didn't think it necessarily would be Kyle Busch, but my expectation was met from the standpoint of, it was a repeat winner. It was nothing new. There was nothing exactly exciting about it. I mean, apart from, I guess, the unfortunate event of Mr. Bowman, who, God, right? You saw the spectacular wreck of the 7 car when it's, I guess he had a brake line that broke, and so that engulfed. There was, everything was on fire with that, with Bowman's car. At one point, I mean, the wheel, the front, everything was a fire on that.
And then that awesome footage of the NASCAR fireman coming out and falling.
And flipping. Poor guy. Yeah, there goes. The expellent all over the ground. As he hit the ground, the expellent came out from the canister. And, mercifully, he was not hurt, so we're not laughing at him. But, it is funny. It's one of those things. I mean, it's human nature, folks. You drop your cell phone, and everybody goes, oh. But if somebody falls on the ground, everybody goes, ah. But that's human nature.
The ambulance pulls up, and then we immediately cue get the circus mucus going. You got all these guys, it's like the VW Bug. 50 people pile out of this thing, and here's this guy. Looks like the Michelin Man. He's tripping all over himself.
Big
extinguisher.
As I say, it's expelling. It's expelling, and that made it even funnier. Oh my goodness!
And Bowman, you watch Bowman. He just throws his hands up in the air, turns around, walks away like. Come on, man.
Yeah, man, I cannot believe it. Another one bites the dust for sure. Let's talk a little bit about then where we are coming out of New Hampshire and given Busch his third and four events. We've got McMurray. He sits 11th in points right now. But there's, he doesn't have a win. But there's Gordon. He's 1 point behind him in 12th. But when we do, turn that on its head and we insert Kyle Busch into a chase spot, because we both agree it's not if, it's a matter of when now, he's actually going to take that. Well, as you say, that starts to bump everybody down. Jamie Mack drops. Gordon, he drops. Now they're 12th and 13th, respectively. Now, they both have a decent points margin, but effectively, that's going to leave us with just three open spots. And right now, today, as we sit, it would be Casey Kane, Ryan Newman, and Paul Menard. They're separated by all of points. You mentioned Watkins Glen. Gotta like Dinger. right? He's a favorite returning to that track. We have Pocono next weekend. So that can be dicey, but I think we're probable to see a repeat winner at Pocono. Watkins Glen is that's the wild card, and we could see Dinger pull the W for that one. You know, here we go at Indy. Stewart is notoriously fond of this track we're going to today. He actually qualified fairly well, and going into, because they only had two rounds of qualifying, he was at the top of the board. Jamie Mack, he was great at Bristol earlier. I think he ran like third. I mean, it's possible you throw Stewart maybe with a win coming out of left field. We give Dinger a win. Maybe Jamie Mack could pull something together. Everybody wants to believe Gordon's in there. I don't know. Sidekick, is it unreasonable that we could have 15 race winners before we're all said and done this year?
I think we're going to have repeat winners. I think you might get maybe one or two. Out of the next seven races.
Okay. All right. I'll be curious to see. If anybody's out there and you want to join us, feel free to climb aboard and holler. Our number to reach us, easy enough, 347-826-9964. If you have an opinion, if you have a thought, you like that dirt racing? We chatted about some dirt racing, what went on the Midsummer Classic at Eldora. Give us a call and weigh in on that. You're watching that Kyle Busch. He's ripping up everything. He obviously did it at the Xfinity Series level yesterday at IMS. What's your thought about Kyle Busch? We should just consider him. He's in. Come on. From Sprint Cup standpoint, this guy's a lock. No? You agree? Do you disagree? Hey, listen, let me ask you this. Is it okay now? You know, he's been made whole, Kyle. He's getting his wins. He's returned from injury. On the other side, there's Kurt Busch. He's had a couple of wins. He's won some poles this year. Is it okay to give up the Kyle and Kurt Busch love? Can we get off the man crush with these guys and go back to the way it was where, you know, the haters? We need some haters, you know? Come on, that's what this sport is built on. It's built on the idea of I love my guy and I hate that guy. Is that okay? Can we start to go back to that and get back to, am I crazy? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 347-826-9964. If you are Skype capable, just go ahead and hit up the Skype button. You'll reach us right here in the studio. I am joined this morning, of course, by my co-host, Sidekick, as we chat up what's going to happen a little bit later start today, Sidekick. We're going to be a 3:30 Eastern time start for the run at Indy, the Crown Royal 400, so named for Jeff Kyle this year, named for a hero. So the Crown Royal 400 for Jeff Kyle is running today at 3:30. Well, I don't know. Is it kind of a drag, Sidekick? What do you know about this thing? This new rules thing is going to be very interesting. Is it making for better product that we're going to see? Not so much testing with the package. We didn't see really any testing ahead of the low downforce at Kentucky because, my goodness, it rained. It rained and it rained and it rained. And then you know what happened? It rained some more. And so they really didn't get a chance to test that package until they got on the track. And that became sort of the dymo. That was your chance to really look at it. What do you expect today as far as the competition? It's going to be like that, right? Everybody's sort of green alike, would you say, when we go to Indianapolis?
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Because, you know, we've had they were able to get their practice in. They had 5 hours of extra racing in, or, you know, practice in. The new spoiler is, you know, 9 inches versus, I think it was 3 inches at Kentucky. You know, it's funny that Joe Gibbs posted a picture of a Coke can with the spoilers. You know, and the one in Kentucky, you know, comes up like 2/3 of the way up on the Coke can. And then, you know, you look at the one for Indy, and it's, you know, the spoiler is about 2 Coke cans in size.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and, but basically what they're saying is it's supposed to create a bigger pocket of air behind the car. You know, so, you know, we're going to get some 3 and 4 wide racing going into the corner. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Now, you know, that's obviously a heralded track. It's considered, you know, I guess sacred ground, sanctified from the standpoint of what it was built around the turn of the century. So the track by itself just holds a great deal of history and mystique. However, we're not packing 250,000 in there for stock car racing. And, of course, NASCAR, they are a want for giving away attendance figures. We know they got away from that practice quite a few years ago because they realized putting out inferior numbers versus attendance capacity was not helping to promote their brand because obviously people weren't coming. So we're possibly looking at, you know, a fraction of, I mean, it might be, you know, a third of capacity. I don't know, 75,000 maybe. Hopefully it's more. Maybe they can get 100,000 in there today. It would be great to see a sellout, but I don't know that we're going to. It's a 2.5 mile track. It is flat. We're going to see a lot of what? We're going to see a lot of engine strain, I would imagine. We're going to see probably what? A bit more fuel consumption, too, as we go. Tremendous amount of drag cars. They've actually allowed them, what, an extra gear or two, and the option of which to use. And they also allowed teams an engine change if they wanted to make one prior to the start of the race, but before qualifying. So they had a chance after practice, but before Saturday's qualifying, if they wanted to do an engine change. So that's kind of interesting. This is a huge place. How big of an event, though, really is it?
Well, I mean, you know, you talk about Daytona International, and, you know, that's kind of like, you know, the mecca for NASCAR fans. But when you talk about Indy, you know, that's almost the mecca for race fans in general. You know, because, you know, you've got the Indy 500, and you remember during its heyday, you know, you couldn't, you know, there was a 4 or 5 year waiting list to get tickets for the Indy 500. Now you can pretty much, you know, you can go up on day of the race and,
you can walk up,
you know, and get in. You know, and then we've got the Brickyard, you know, with all the heritage, you know, kissing the bricks and things like that. So, you know, Indy is kind of the center of motor racing, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, right. Just from the standpoint of they have run everything there. I mean, we obviously the Indianapolis and the Indy cars, they run, you know, super sport cars. I don't know. They don't do F1 there. That's not part of it. But they obviously, you know, the stock cars are in there. So they run all kinds of things, all kinds of action around that track. I can imagine going there, you know, it would be like going to a museum from a standpoint. I believe they actually have. They actually have a museum as part of as part of the structure there. So, I mean, to go there is to steep yourself in the heritage and the culture and the history of motorsports racing going way, way back with great, great names, many of which we've probably forgotten. But it hasn't proven necessarily to translate to the most exciting kind of racing action at the stock car level. There's been moments and glimmers of fury and excitement, but it fails to always compel, as you, in comparison, say, you know, Daytona would or even a Talladega would, which were designed and manufactured to be stock car, home of stock car racing. At the same time, it's going to be curious to see, because of the fact that they've tweaked these rules and there hasn't been a very good feel, that perhaps we do stand a very good chance this week. And I'm hopeful that, in fact, this package will create something memorable, something different. I'm hopeful to see Tony Stewart come out and run well here. For whatever reason, I kind of have him as a dark horse to actually make some noise this week. I know, talking with a couple other folks earlier, that Jeff Gordon's name has come up.
That sure, well, fact, he was last year's winner.
Right. He, too, could somehow harness this package that everybody sort of sits, we're all trying to figure it out. Because Sidekick, until they get side-by-side, we're really not going to know. Because in practices, primarily, and they allowed them, as you said, the extra practice, they actually got three in on Friday. Primarily, they did single runs. They didn't really do too much multiple car practicing. So it's going to be on restarts that we see exactly how it goes, and yep. it's going to be in the corners. And if in fact some of that drafting and some of that slingshot effect actually comes into play, if it does, wow, I'll be the first to come back next week, Sidekick, and admit, hey, you know what, I had it wrong, man. This was one of the best races we have seen.
No, absolutely. And that's why, and for me, it's only going to be better if Tony wins. Because I have, we talked about, last week's show, I haven't had much talk about Tony. And man, it would be nice to, be able to, it's just something, Eldora with the dirt racing and Indy, with it being Tony's home, quote unquote, home track. Mm-hmm. It's those two are just, they're linked. And they will forever be linked. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. for him to get a win at Indy, just gives any Tony Stewart fan, butterflies.
Absolutely. Is this his home track? Is that right, Sidekick? Is he in Indy? He's an Indiana boy, is that right? I think he is,
correct.
Right?
Yep.
So So there you go. So there's that on top. Man, you got me going. I got the butterflies over here. Well, here's hoping. I think it would be outstanding to see the 14 take the checkers, just because, I don't know, in a funny way. If we're going to share the love and we're going to get behind drivers that have kind of been, not done right, or have seen, the hard edge. We've given it all the love to the Bush brothers. Let's throw a little love. I think it's only fair to throw a little love to Tony Stewart right now. And, in that vein, call me man crush, call me fraud. I'm going to pull for Tony Stewart to go ahead and get a win today. I'm almost tempting myself to pick him as my eat my dust, but we've got some time before we go there. We are going to go there, though, folks. We're going to be switching gears and talking some fantasy chat. You've got your fantasy picks for us, I believe, right, Sidekick? You're going to help
Absolutely.
Us pick the moment, you better believe it. We'll have to check in with Brad House Mike to make sure that we have Brandon's picks as well. The only crazy little, story that I did come across was the, that crazy nonsense about throwing water bottles last week. I don't know. Here comes the water bottle. It goes thrown out on the track. I mean, I'll tell you what. All we need to do is give NASCAR a reason to throw another caution flag, right? I mean, they don't have enough reason to throw caution flags as it is. What do you make of it, Sidekick? I mean, is it goofy? Is it stupid? I mean, does everybody do it? We've heard from a few different drivers. Hey, listen, man, when times are tough, just get rid of that water bottle. You've got to anyway. It's down by your feet. It's a hazard for you to drive with the empty water bottle as it's kicking around your feet, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if it's not what, yeah, if it's not one thing, it's another with these guys, you know.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm hoping
you got firemen tripping over the fire extinguishers. You got drivers throwing water bottles at each other.
Yeah. Listen, I'm hoping my favorite driver today has worked out the switch so that he can drop his exhaust pipe on the track at the appropriate time today, when in fact he's going to need to find a caution.
And you got to know Quint Boyer's back there kicking himself, going, "Man,
oh, man, why didn't I think of that?
I should have thrown a water bottle out of my car instead of." Yeah. You got an itch? Yeah, I'm itching to throw this water bottle out my car.
Absolutely.
I'd have been in less trouble.
Oh, my goodness. That is too funny. Well, of course, and, you know, we heard the call from both sides because everybody wants to be politically correct. So we heard from the usual suspects, you know, several drivers saying, "Oh, my goodness, that's a hazard. You can't do that." I mean, guys that throw stuff out the window, I mean, what's wrong with them? We should not only find them, but we should fine them. And, oh, my goodness, bring those guys up. I mean, it's like Wayward Pines. We're going to have a reckoning. We're bringing somebody up on stage in front of the whole crowd, and we're going to have a reckoning. And then you have the other guys on the other side, quite a few that said, "Hey, you know, not for nothing, but, you know, the bottle's empty, man." I mean, you're flying around the track. You've got tremendous G-forces. I've got the thing down on my feet. I don't want it down on my feet. That's a real safety issue. I just as soon throw the thing out. Now, generally, I try to throw it out as I'm coming down, you know, pit row, and I'm on the apron there. That's where I dump it. I don't dump it in the middle of the track. I mean,
well,
nobody,
you know, an errant
nobody
bottle.
In their right mind would do that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why we call it a silly season, right, Sidekick? I mean, heck, this is the stuff that makes it fun. It's the stuff that makes the world go round when it comes to the wide, wheelie world of wacky motorsports. So listen, here's what we're going to do before we switch gears over to our NASCAR fantasy. And I'm just throwing it out there. We've got, you know, about 20 minutes left in the show. Give us a call there and listening. If you want to share your pick today for IMS, if you want to share any thoughts of dirt racing, road racing, perhaps you like Xfinity and Camping World Truck and you have an opinion about those two series, give us a call, 347-826-9964. Everybody wants to know who's going to win at IMS today, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Who's your favorite pick to win? Give us a call and let us know and weigh in. What I would like to do at this point... Yeah, buddy, we're going to bring in our own Frat House Mike down from atop the spotter's perch. And good morning, Frat House Mike.
We are out
in Bandimir Speedway, and the NHRA heats are kicking up out there. That's out in Denver, right, Frat
yes,
House
sir.
Mike?
Yes, sir.
So,
we are out,
I mean,
on our West Coast swing.
How about that? So
oh,
you can bet
Rocky Mountain High.
The boys from Furniture Row, if they're not sitting and watching on one set, watching Martin Truex Jr. today at IMS, they're probably tuned in to the neighboring track right there, because I would imagine they're not terribly far away because they're both in Denver.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because I was checking in on some of the qualifying yesterday and Bandimir, because of the fact it's in Denver, you got that high air. You got the high altitude. And frequently it does affect how these cars perform. Generally what you see is somewhat slower, little less in miles per hour, and you're going to get somewhat increased runs down the track. You won't be seeing the 3.8s from top fuel, but probably more like a 4.0, 4.1. Well, hey, that wasn't the case yesterday. Yesterday was insane. They were setting track records there yesterday, so I can't explain exactly what the difference was yesterday versus what it normally is in Bandimere. But it was very, very interesting. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Brittany Force set the track record in Top Fuel there at, I think it was less than 3.8 down the track. That, and that's just not, you don't see that at Bandimere.
Wow. That's pretty outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting stuff. So it should make for interesting competitions today. And, you know, this is just the interesting, we're at an interesting point right now in NHRA season, because technically we only have five. There are only five. Hard to imagine when you think about it. There are only five events remaining in the regular season before we go to
before
our own.
Before the countdown?
Okay.
Right. And with this interesting set of a stretch of the schedule right now, we're actually going to have NHRA racing three straight weeks in a row, because we go from Bandimere, we go to Sonoma next week, and then after that, we're up in Seattle. So it's three straight weeks in a row. It's not a little unusual to see 3 weeks straight for NHRA racing.
Well, and Fred House might correct me if I'm wrong, but don't we have changes coming at Sonoma?
Well, you have what we have is there are, yeah, interesting. Pro Stock in particular is where we're going to see some changes coming. The changes that are coming at Sonoma, specifically with the Pro Stock class, in my opinion, are all cosmetic. In fact, I think they're almost kind of silly, to be honest with you. They actually made this a rule. NHRA is requiring that teams back their race cars. Now, this is just for Pro Stock. Back their race cars into the pits and leave the engines uncovered so that spectators have better accessibility. You know, all right, okay, great. You're going to make that a rule? All right, if you feel you got to make that a rule, go ahead, make it a rule. They've also done away with the they've made it a rule that crew members cannot stand beside cars and hold them in place as they're doing their burnouts. Okay, all right. Somehow or another, NHRA seems to feel that this is going to enhance, you know, spectator appeal. I don't know.
Well, wouldn't that be a safety concern?
I'm just thinking the same. I mean, yeah, because I agree. I mean, it sounds as though that would be a superfluous rule unless, in fact, they think there's something, I guess, unsafe to it.
Well, everything that they're putting into effect, they're claiming is all perpetuated to make the fan experience better.
Mm.
Well, I don't care whether the, you know, one of the crew members is standing beside the car or not. And it's only, mind you, it's only when they begin their burnouts. They're there, you know, listen, you see it all the time in the funny car as well. You know, the crew chief will be up there, you know, and he's staging it.
I was going to say, we're talking at the staging point. Right.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, this, what they're talking about here is this would be prior to the actual staging event. This is during their burnout. So cars are coming up to the line. The crew chief is there holding the car in place. The car takes off on its burnout and backs up. Now
and
they're
then
going
backs
to do the
into and stages. Got you.
Correct. Then they're going to do the staging. But, you know, requiring that the crew chief is or is not there in advance of the burnout, to me, it's, I don't, so what? The other one that you'll see at Sonoma, and again, I really, really, these are all cosmetic, folks, specifically with Pro Stock, automobile manufacturer identification headers had to be clearly seen on the windshields. Not dissimilarly, I think, to the way that we see in NASCAR.
So it'll say Chevrolet, it'll say Dodge, correct. It'll say Pontiac, it'll say whoever.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, that might be more for, you know, while they're saying that that's spectator-driven. That sounds to me like it's more sponsor-driven, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The bigger changes for Pro Stock, in my opinion, will be coming in the 2016 season. And now we're really going to get into some real meat and potatoes types of changes, things that could really, really dramatically change how the sport runs. First of all, they're going to require that all pro stock vehicles move to an EFI, electronic fuel injection. This has been met with some criticism, and I can understand why. There are some that are claiming that it actually is going to slow the cars down. Now, you know, to me, I contend that if spectator appreciation of pro stock is down, I believe it is simply because of the fact that when you've got pro stock running immediately after Top Fuel and then Funny Car, which are nitro driven, well, to see these cars running down the track at, say, you know, in 6 seconds at 220, 240, 250 miles an hour, that's kind of passe compared to running down in those monsters that are driven by nitro. And I think that that's it. Now, to me, to go and slow the car, potentially slow the cars down by going to EFI, I don't know if that's necessarily enhancing the spectator appreciation, if you see what I'm saying. I think it kind of defeats its purpose. Now, the other thing that they're going to do to that, all hood scoops have to be removed, so there will be no, the cars will not have the same look to them at all, which I don't like. I like the hood scoop, but that's going to be removed. And then they're going to, they want the wheelie bars in the back reduced. Well, I contend that, in fact, NHRA believes what I believe, and that is that by going to EFI, it's going to slow the cars down. Well, to compensate for that, we're going to have shorter wheelie bars. And what NHRA is hoping to get is they're hoping to get more, as they say, right in their own press release. And let me see if I got this up. Let's see. Those changes are designed to make the reducing the wheelie bars. Those changes are designed to make the race car designs more relevant and to boost spectator appeal by increasing the unpredictability of the class through more wheels up launches from the starting line. Well,
right.
I think they're inviting potential starting line disasters. I'm going to be perfectly blunt with you, because now you've got a car that's not going to have quite the oomph that it currently does right now, which means drivers are going to be ready to sit on that throttle and go at a moment's notice, and you've got smaller wheelie bars in the back. I could just see one of these cars flipping. I really don't know. I mean, to me, I frankly say leave it all alone.
If they have, let's say, if the wheels, you know, what's the common term, Fred House, Mike? He spun his wheels. So
yeah.
if you have someone that spins their wheels and it does launch, let's say, the front up, but they lose, I guess, what, directional before they drop back down, well, you're right. I mean, they could find themselves positioned to maybe shoot across the track or out of the track when
or
they
just
do
flip it. Or just flip it.
Right.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I'm not a, you know, obviously I'm all about, you know, drag and camber and all that other stuff. But to me, it would, when you talk about, you know, these cars launching down the track, if they're spinning their tires, I would think they'd be more liable to stay, the front end to stay down, because they're, you know, obviously the spinning is because there's no traction. So I don't think you
so
have
they
the
wouldn't
front
launch
end.
Up.
But
you.
If you got a guy that locks in and them tires don't spin, that's when you see that car shoot way up in the air. And, you know, and if he gets, you know, if he nails it and he get, you know, and that thing doesn't spin, that car's going up and over.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know,
we've seen a lot of, and I'm not saying you see it on every run, certainly, but we certainly have seen our share of, as NHRA says, wheels up launches in pro stock this year. I mean, I have seen Erica do it, numerous times. And if we sit and watch Bandimir today, I'll guarantee you that you're going to see it in a couple of pro stock heats. You're going to see it. So you already get that sort of thing. I don't know. You know, I don't know how a car going to EFI is going to enhance spectator appeal. How does that enhance spectator appeal? See, that doesn't. You know what that is? That's an efficiency thing. That's all that is.
Well, I was going to say, that's kind of akin to when NASCAR went to EFI a few years ago.
Correct.
Did they need to go to EFI? Maybe not. But then you have, you know, unfortunately, you got some of the PC people out there saying, hey, you run these things, they're running, you know, they're burning gallons.
Right.
Going down, you know. And, you know, so you get them people, you know, those Prius tree huggers out there say, you know, really? Do we still have to run a carb in a car? It's 2015 already.
Right, you exactly.
Know? Where's the electric cell?
Right.
You know? Yeah.
So,
let me see you put wheelie bars on a frickin' Prius.
Now, EFI would not in any way enhance or change or assist in the breakdown and rebuild process between heats, right, Fred House Mike? It's not as though it will help streamline by virtue of having EFI or not. They're still going to have to break down engines between heats the same as they always do, right?
Well, Pro Stock doesn't do the complete breakdown the way you see occur in both Top Fuel and Funny Car.
Okay.
The only time that you're actually going to see, a kind of a breakdown on the engine would be if, for instance, you got one car going from, you got a car that has won through, say, the first round. They're going to the second round. Maybe the crew chief wants to tweak something. Excuse me. You might see some work going on that way. Or if something were to break. If something were to break in a car, now that's only assuming, again, that the car has advanced. You know, if the car has advanced to the second round from the second round to the third round, and perhaps maybe something broke during their winning first round, then you're going to see that sort of thing. But these Pro Stock cars,
they're designed to run all day.
Correct.
Okay.
But anyhow, that's... Those are the things you're going to see. And like I said, I think with the exception of, I guess, maybe shortening the wheelie bar and removing the hood scoop, I think those are really only the two things that most spectators are going to recognize. They're the only things that the average spectator is going to look at and say, oh, wow, that's different. You know, they're going to notice that. They're not going to notice EFI. They're not going to notice, really, the manufacturer identification on the windshield. And I don't think anybody's really going to give a damn whether the cars are sitting in their pits with the hoods up. I don't think anybody cares.
Mm.
But
well, could the manufacturer identification be part of the move to Fox next year? You know, they just got... You know, the new contract with Fox Sports, and you know, and they're hoping to do some more live coverage and things. And is some of this maybe trying to enhance the coverage for Fox? You know,
well,
they're doing a couple things here and there this year, and then you know, next year, okay, we're going to throw EFI, we're going to do some other tweaks.
It certainly might. And listen, there's no doubt about it that perhaps maybe Fox has put a little bit of pressure on NHRA to say, hey, you know something, you know, you got a great product there with that Top Fuel and with Funny Car. Hey, guys, you know something? That Pro Stock's really boring. And maybe it's Fox that's driving some of this, you know, and maybe they're saying, hey, you know, we want to cover your product there, but you got to do something to sexy this thing up. Maybe that's it. I don't know. My problem is I'm not an NHRA fan that looks down my nose at Pro Stock. I like Pro Stock, and I like what it is for what it is. And I recognize that it's not Top Fuel and it's not Funny Car, but I appreciate it for what it is.
Right. Well, I was thinking more, you would have to think that the EFI change wasn't a spur-of-the-moment decision.
Correct.
I mean? They've been looking into this. So that may not so much be a Fox-related... But the Sonoma changes, you know, clear, you know, identification of the manufacturer and you know, the backing in and keeping the covers off the engines and stuff. You know, yes, the fans that are walking up and are all, you know, can see everything and be, oh, this is so cool. But, you know, when you have the live coverage of them going through the pits and stuff, you know, you're not, you know, you're clearly seeing manufacturers. Manufacturers are getting their plug on Fox.
Right.
You've got, you know, you're seeing the cars backed in. It looks pretty on the camera, you know, some of that stuff.
Good point. And listen, it's rare that we really ever see the pro stock pits in between heats because, as I point out, they don't do the complete breakdown the way you see in Top Fuel and in Funny Car. So there's nothing really to go to the pro stock pits and broadcast because right. There's nothing going on. So perhaps maybe, you know, now this will be something you're going to see a pan. You're going to have cameras panning through some of the pro stock pits because they've got their hoods up and the engines are out, and we're going to be able to get inside and take a look at one of these pro stock engines. I mean, you know, maybe that's part of the purpose of it. You know, it's going to be interesting because we'll see whether, and of course, ESPN will continue to cover this season. Obviously, we're going to be at Sonoma next week. Let's see whether, in fact, ESPN picks up on it and is covering the pro stock pits.
Mm-hmm. Right, and now my mind just went blank. Oh, I was going to say, one of the things we talked about with the live coverage for NHRA is the gaps in time when stuff's not going on.
Correct.
And that's kind of what I'm wondering is, you know, knowing that they're going to try and do more live coverage of the finals and things, you know, they're going to have some dead time, you know, in between, and maybe that's what, you know, maybe we're going to see a Michael Waltrip doing the grid walk.
Jeez.
Down Pro Stock Lane. Oops. I dropped a taco in your motor.
Oh, boy.
I could. Oh, no. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I wouldn't mind auditioning for that role. I could do the NHRA grid walk.
Yeah, I'll give you a little advice. Stay away from the taco stand. Yeah.
I'm not a big taco fan myself anyhow, but anyhow, those are the changes that we're talking about with Pro Stock in particular. Talking about Pro Stock, we've got ourselves quite a battle going on over there. Greg Anderson still sits atop 66 points ahead of Erica Enders. And I'm just – hold on 1 second. I'm just pulling up – oh, there's my Pro Stock ladder. And where are we going today? You know, it's unfortunate. Here we go again, guys. Only 15 cars in the field. No 16th car in the Pro Stock field today. 15 only. That's one of the things that's been a complaint from some of the Pro Stock folks is that it is just so hard to get sponsorship. Alan Johnson sits atop today's Bandamere run. He's at the top, number one seed. Ian Pro Stock, number two is Larry Morgan. Number three, Erica Enders. Jonathan Gray is four. Gray's not having a very good season, nor is V Gaines. Both are underneath of the line. They will not make right now. They would not make the cut. They would not make the cut for the countdown. Where in the world is Greg Anderson? Greg Anderson is coming in 11th. How nice. So that could be interesting today. Funny car, Matt Hagen. Here we go. Are we ready? I mean, it's the DSR group. Matt Hagen, Ron Capps, Jack Beckman. All 1, 2, 3 on the board and in the standings, all DSR cars. John Forrest is number 5. Courtney still sitting on the outside. Courtney Forrest still sitting on the outside at 11th. She is currently right now only 10 points out of the number 10 spot. So over in Funny Car today, John Forrest has got the number 1 spot. Number 2 is Tim Wilkerson. 3 is Fast Jack Beckman. Johnson Jr. is fourth. I'm just looking down. Where's Matt Hagen? Is 6th. Ron Capps is 8th. And where's my good buddy? Matt Hagen is 6th. Matt Hagen is 6th. So, and Courtney's 10th. So there's our rundown of the leaderboard for Funny Car. DSR dominating over in Top Fuel as well. Tony Schumacher, Antoine Brown. Number one and number two, 20 points, only separating Antoine Brown from the number one spot. That's held by Tony Schumacher. Brittany Force is in there at number eight right now. So right now, Brittany would make the countdown. And our top fuel ladder, Larry Dixon's got the number one spot. Tony Schumacher, number two. Brittany Force, number three. If you remember, I just had pointed out she set the she set a track record there yesterday. 3.8 down the track yesterday. 3.80 down the track yesterday. That's the fastest ever recorded at Bandimere. Steve Torrance, number four. Coleta Douglas is five. Spencer Massey, six. I'm just looking through real quick. Where's Antron is eight. But there you go. That's our rundown for NHRA for this week.
Outstanding. Where are we off to next week again?
Sonoma.
Next week to Sonoma. That would
going
be the, very,
the
same, very same track that they run the stock car, correct?
That is correct.
Yes.
That is correct. I believe it is right next door.
Very cool. All right. Outstanding. We have about 10 minutes to go, boys. I'll throw the number out if anybody wants to quick holler at us who your favorite driver is today as we head out to IMS, 347-826-9964, because what we're going to do is we're going to kick it over to our own frat house sidekick for sidekick fantasy picks at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Sidekick, who do we like for today?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Who cares?
Doesn't really matter. Just give me my champ now. For the show picks, Reed's Eastbound and Downers, we're going to go with the number four of Kevin Harvick. We're going with the number 48 of Jimmy Johnson. I'm going to put the pole sitter, number 19, Carl Edwards, on the roster. Gonna try and roll my dice with him this week. Going with my heart, the number 14, Tony Stewart, is on the roster this week. And then the number 46 of Michael Annette. And, you know, I'm digging deep. I'm going with Stewart and Chevy as my winner and my manufacturer.
Nice.
So I'm hoping, trying to give Smoke some love this week. Now for spring rubber, we're going to go with the number four of Kevin Harvick. Again, the number 48 of Jimmy Johnson. I was very close to putting the 24 of Jeff Gordon on last year's winner. But I thought Johnson was a better deal. We're still going to go with the 18 of Kyle Busch, the number 35 of that guy that likes our show, Cole Witt, and the number 46, again, of Michael Annette. I'm going with Kyle Busch and Toyota as my winner and manufacturer.
And eat my dust, or did you tell us?
I haven't said. Let's see. I got a 3-point lead.
Actually, you do, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to. You know what? I'm going to go with my heart this week. I'm going with Stewart.
All right, he's taking the 14. All right. Very nice. All right. Now I'm going to send it over to Frat House Mike. Frat House Mike has our show friend of the show, Liz. And she obviously has offered her picks, so Frat House Mike can share those up with us. And he's also, if he's inclined, going to share his own, as well as Eat My Dust for himself and Brandon. So
yep.
Back to you then, Frat House Mike. Give us the skinny here.
Well, Liz over there has got, for today's race, she's got A.J. Allmendinger, Martin Truex Jr., mm-hmm. Kurt Busch, mm-hmm. Kevin Harvick, mm-hmm. Casey Mears.
Wow.
And Kurt Busch to win.
Very good.
Showing the other Busch brothers some love.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, Brandon is I don't have Brandon's full roster for fantasy, but I do have his Eat My Dust, and Brandon is going with Kevin Harvick as the winner today. Now, over on the esteemed Frat House Mike Flyers team, I must tell you, and guys, I feel very, very good about this team right here. How about this for a lineup? I'm going to go Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards,
Man
Martin
Crush.
Truex, of course it is. Of course it is. Martin Truex Jr., Tony Stewart, David Reagan, and I'm picking Tony Stewart to win it.
Wow.
I had picked Stewart well before you guys actually started talking about Stewart and going, Yeah, I'm sitting here this morning. I'm going, yeah, I think it's Stewart's turn. Three times? I think he's won here three times. Yeah, Stewart is my dust.
Okay.
Oh, good for you.
Well, then I'll be the only one to take the 18 because that's who I'm going with. I'm going to ride the hot hand. So put me down for Eat My Dust. I'll ride with the 18 today. I'm surprised none of you did. Everybody's getting away from me. I feel the love for the 14, and I did pick the 14 to win on one of my two rosters because I have a feeling, too, like you all do. For the Eat My Dust, I'm going to wind up in last place anyway. So I'm going to continue to pick whoever you guys don't pick since I wind up picking last anyway. So put me down for the 18. And what are we running? Skittles. It's the Skittles week.
Oh,
so
we got the Skittles
guard? I'm hoping, I think so. I'm hoping he goes beast mode, a la the Seahawks. I hope he goes beast mode and he wins the whole darn thing this week. That would be a triumvirate for Kyle because his truck would have won on Wednesday. He won it yesterday, and he could possibly sweep it if he wins it today. So,
all the more reason why I can't go with Kyle today because, I'm just an M&M's guy.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
Yep. Yep. I'm picking Mike. Listen, I might as well go that way. I mean, I've had as much luck picking by the color of the car than I do, whoever's navigating it.
He's got pretty colors.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Frat House Mike, if you want to know who the winner is.
Why can't we just get in the running car?
And the running car is going to be the 18. That's my prediction. Okay, well, gentlemen.
I like that pick there, Mark.
Okay.
Well, because like I said, I was thinking that was who I was going to pick. But, and then I'm thinking about it pre-show, and I'm like, Tony's my guy, and I've said we haven't been able to talk about about him.
Been nothing
in a positive light. It's Indy, it's the Brickyard. Okay, I'm going with my heart on this one.
And like I said, I think he's got at least two. It might actually be three wins at Indy.
Yeah, but I think Kyle takes it.
It goes back to what you said last week ago, Sidekick, and that was when the guy came out and won his last championship, it was on the heels of basically giving a speech that said, you know what? Everything sucks right now. The team sucks. The car sucks. I suck. Nothing's good. The world sucks. And then what did he do? He wound up tearing the thing to shreds. So, I'm kind of riding and I guess hoping on your thought there that maybe, in fact, this will be the turnaround. And he is driving at home. So, he's a fun guy to like this week, and I'm buying in myself, as I say, on one of my two fantasy teams. I do have him to win, and Chevy is my manufacturer. So I'm right there with you, boys. Here's what we'll do. We're going to wrap it up real fast. Before I let you boys out of here, we're going to just share up with our listeners what's on the agenda for the coming week. Starting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, be sure to tune in right here on Frat House Sports Radio Network with John and the Blaine crew as they bring you Stitches. And that will be a hard-hitting all-sports talk 2 hours. They are going to be joined by a couple of guests
tomorrow featuring some New York Jets and some New York Giants NFL football chat in the first hour, and they will be joined by former Major League pitcher John Lieber in the second hour. So you're going to get your NFL on the front side, you're going to get your MLB on the backside, and all through in between you will get the usual nonsense and fun and facts that you've come to listen and expect from the Bling Crew. That's starting tomorrow, 7 o'clock, on the Stitches program. Come Tuesday night, it will be cleanup hitters. But you know, not for nothing, Frat House Mike is taking a little hiatus this week. He's going to be heading off to a much-needed vacation himself. So we are going to be bringing the all Major League Baseball program cleanup hitters this week, and we're going to feature all three of the frat boys. Is that right, Frat House Mike? Before you mute yourself out, we're going to have Sean, Nick, and Caleb, right? All three are going to be sharing the spotlight on cleanup hitters this Tuesday night.
Correct. And Nick will technically be sitting in my seat.
So we've got Nick in the big chair.
Yep.
With Sean and Caleb. Okay, very good. And, of course, we'll have details, and we'll be sharing up a link for that program. That's coming your way Tuesday night. That's all Major League Baseball, everything there is to talk about. And, of course, you know, at that point, we're talking right on the eve of the trade deadline.
Yep.
So, right? So, I mean, that's going to be a hard-hitting and fun and fast program. So be sure to join us 7 o'clock on Tuesday night for cleanup hitters with the Frat Boys hosting. On Thursday, we have a very special program coming your way, Frat House Sports Show. This one's a big one, folks. We're kind of teasing it, but if you do like our Frat House Sports videos, our Frat House Sports Show on YouTube, you want to go check out YouTube, and you can find our Frat House Sports shows over there. We are going to be simultaneously launching a new, brand new video of our roundtable program, as well as a full hour of live chat and the rebroadcast of that program on our Thursday night. This is going to be NFL heavy. Join Frat House Mike, sidekick Brandon, hopefully will be joining us from vacation for that one. Yours truly. A lot of fun on Thursday night. And come next Saturday, we're going to count on seeing you back here. Is that right, Frat House Mike, for Frat House Saturday?
We'll play it by ear. We're going to see
how
that
goes.
We'll
play it by ear. Okay.
There will be a Frat House Saturday program. We'll just have to
We're going to figure it out. We've got time until then. And, of course, next Sunday at our regular time, we will be back here with you for our Race Trim Motorsports Hour ahead of the run in Pocono, the Tricky Triangle. We'll be going there, and we'll be talking about possibly first win today.
Nice.
Huh? Maybe it'll be A.J. Allmendinger's first win today. There's a little love for our friend of the show, Liz. Or, hey, I'm going with Kyle to get his fourth in 5 weeks. There you have it. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Sidekick, as always, it was a pleasure. And I'll look forward to chatting with you again soon, if not sooner than Thursday. We'll get together then. Frat House Mike as well. You and I will probably settle back and check out some of the racing action this afternoon and NHRA action as well. And to all our friends out there, you know what you got to do. Kick the tires, enjoy some racing this afternoon, and until we talk to you again on Thursday all together, check us out tomorrow night for Stitches, 7 o'clock right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. Until then, bye-bye.